It's Crosstalk Live.
Hey, welcome to Crosstalk Live. I'm Ken, and I'm sitting here in studio with my friend David Iverson. Howdy, Dave.
How's it going, Ken?
Well, as usual, and thank you for asking. And via remote, the modern technology with a slight delay is our good buddy Joey. How are things down south?
Well, I'm probably doing better here than you are over there. You say you're sitting there, but it looks like you're channeling Bill Novotny. I see you have a beverage in your hand, and you're barely staying in your chair, a little wobbly there. So
it's a setup.
Pretty interesting.
It was a setup. I used to have my own chair in this studio, and I don't know where that chair went, but the one they replaced is, it kind of reminds me of Steamboat.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Do you complain about everything?
Yeah.
I kind of figured you
pretty
would.
Pretty much. Hey, I don't complain, though, because I had a good afternoon. I had an opportunity to talk with Jeanette Ward, and we'll share some of that in just a minute. Maybe some of you have been following the situation, and you know that she is under siege from the WEA. There are, I think, two different WEA-sponsored candidates running in Casper. One of them's against Jeanette. So they came out with attack ads, and they said, among other things, Jeanette, why do you hate children so much?
Did they actually print that, or did they actually put that on their ad?
When we bring it up, like I said, I had an interview with her, and we'll bring up some of her comments on that. She couldn't be with us to be in the room, so we did the next best thing, and we'll make do. Joey, you saw the ads. What was your take on them?
Well, and of course, I take everything from a political junkie standpoint. My biggest issue with them is they are exactly what the WEA, the Redcoats, the Liberals, the entrenched elitist establishment Republicans always complain about. Their vicious, baseless attack that don't provide any facts or reference to what they're saying. I believe one of them, let me see if I pull it up here real quick. Casper Representative Jeanette Ward is voting against bills that would save our kids' lives. Mental health support in public schools keeps students safe and healthy. Representative Ward voted against providing mental health support for school children. Okay, so what? Just say what bill you're talking about or get into some real specifics.
Yeah.
Because there was quite a few things that had to do with healthcare, mental health, but also parental rights and restrictions on the school from holding stuff back. So I don't really know what their argument is on that one directly. But the other one is Casper has public school shortages. Maybe where you come from, Representative Ward, you have extra teachers, but our public school teachers devote their lives to Wyoming students. Representative Ward has voted against a bill that would have helped teachers stay in Wyoming and teach the next generation. Again, no specificity, no reference to a bill, and it's a personal attack. And it's basically saying we get the money we get from teachers not to and they use children and they use the concept of education as their argument, but we are here to defend the money that goes into schools so we can continue to exist. That's all I see in any of these ads. Now, you know, I don't mind hearing a good, solid debate, and maybe we should set something up, but I would love some clarity from the Wyoming Education Association on what exactly they believe Jeanette Ward did, what bills were they related to, and what were their alternative suggestions, amendments, or bills that would have done opposite. Because last time I checked, we already have some bought and paid for WEA legislators in both chambers, and they didn't seem to put up too big of a fight. At least they didn't put up a successful one, which is what made Jeanette Ward able to be on the prevailing side of voting these things down. So really what I'm hearing is the WEA saying, how dare you stand up against us and prove that we're absolute failures, and now we just want some of our people back in there because we want more money.
Yesterday, Jeanette fired off a response to all these ads and was printed. It was published in the CowPie. I wish she would have sent it to me first. But anyway, here's what she says. Quote, "The union claims that I refuse to support our public school teachers by voting against bills that transform schools from educational institutions into mental health treatment centers. The advertisements are vaguely worded so as to obfuscate the truth, but I'm not afraid or ashamed of my voting record being made available to the public. unlike some of my colleagues in the Wyoming House of Representatives, Dan Zwanitzer. She doesn't say his name.
She didn't say that.
Their slanderous accusation that I'm a child killer for not funding mental health support in schools is appalling. I stand by my opposition to legislation that overburdens teachers and grows government. Our teachers spend 4 years or more honing their teaching skills and are now expected to identify, refer, and even provide mental health services to kids through social-emotional learning curriculum, which should be banned. End quote.
Yes.
I mean, the entire op-ed is worth reading, or her response. It's only about a page and a half, but Jeanette's not taking any guff off these guys.
No, she's not. And it's interesting, when I listened to that, the first thing that jumped out at me was this idea of projection.
Oh, yeah.
They're calling her a child killer.
Yeah.
That is rich. So anyway, we could be like a lot of the other networks and news sources out there and simply just sit here and report what we think about it. But we took the time to reach out to Jeanette and offer her an opportunity to speak for herself. And she's about to do that. As I alluded to earlier, she is not able to join us live, so she's joining us this way. So I asked her a few questions. We'll let her respond to those questions, and then we'll kind of stop the tape and jump in there. But I just want to say one thing first. There are a number of us down in the trenches, and we have become very close. And when you hear us speak to each other, you hear terms of affection. It is not...
Honey, sweetie pie?
No, not like
Schnookums?
That. Terms of affection, like brother. And you might hear I love you or something like that tossed back and forth. But, you know, it's not that different from people that have been through combat together. No, it's not the same. But there are some similarities, and having been through both, I was stricken by that. And I just wanted to throw that out there and say, I love Jeanette like a sister and would do anything for her. And I so much appreciate her willingness to come on and talk to us. And here's how that went. Go ahead and roll the tape, David.
Well, joining me now is Jeanette Ward from, I believe it's House District 57 in Casper. Is that correct?
That's right. Thank you so much for having me on the show. House District 57, like Heinz 57, your favorite ketchup.
Oh, now that's clever. That's pretty clever. So my question is, first of all, just a quick one. Who are you? How did you end up in Wyoming? Why are you here?
Well, like you said, I am the rep from House District 57. It's a southeast-ish portion of Casper. And I came to Wyoming in August 2021, looking for freedom and fleeing tyranny from another state. And I am delighted to be living in Wyoming. I love it here, and I love the people of Wyoming, and I am so honored to represent them in the 57th District.
Well, we're pretty honored to have you here. One of the things, so I just wanted to jump in here. This has been a hot topic, as you guys both well know, about these imports or people from out of state coming in here. She's only been here about 3 years, but very principled gal, and she deliberately chose to be in Wyoming because of how the people are. They had visited before and understood a little bit about what they were getting into. And as I was listening to you guys earlier in the week, I kept thinking about an expression my dad used to say, one is not responsible for with whom one's ancestors slept.
Or where.
Thoughts, guys?
Well, I just can't get over the fact that you twice said, when it happens, we're going to stop the tape. That's really annoying.
Joey, what are your thoughts? These guys are trying to point.
I don't mind the attention at all. Normally, I'm an attention getter.
Oh,
but
we lost it.
When you guys want to be annoying, you
shouldn't
ace
have.
It.
Try it now, Joey.
You can't hear me?
Now we're good. We're good now.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Sorry.
Okay. I'll come back in a second. Well, honestly, I just can't get over the fact that twice before we listen to that, Ken mentioned, we're going to stop the tape in a minute. And really, he's lucky that we have the audience we have, because if we had a more youthful audience, they'd be like, what are you talking about, Boomer? What's a tape?
Anyway, I am a baby boomer. Yeah, indeed.
There you go. I'm an out-of-state transplant too, for my own reasons. I grew up in California. I actually moved to Wyoming before I got out of the Army, but there's a reason that we're all here. And it's kind of like the same thing you were talking about, serving with people in the legislature. It's not like combat, because I haven't served in the legislature, but I have been in combat. But there is what I call a trauma bond in situations like that. Y'all have been through some crap together, and I'm not going to say that is as strong as what I'm about to mention, but a lot of us out-of-state transplants who are conservative and who are here for a reason and have chosen to stand up, fight, get involved, and in Jeanette's case, even represent, we share a trauma bond as well. We've been living in the bad places before. We've seen the progression of the crap that these elitist multi-generational Wyomingites keep their head in the sand about and say, well, it's not happening here, it's not real, and all that. So that's one of the reasons that, like you, I will unapologetically defend people like Jeanette Ward until I have a quantified reason not to, because I have that trauma bond with her as well. We are not here to play around. We are here to try to make sure that when we get to the end of our years, there's still a place left for our children that resembles something we had before we had to leave those places.
Interesting that you mentioned that, Joey, because this afternoon I went and taught a class at one of the private schools here, and I was there just to talk about journalism. And the topic of, I brought up House Bill 166, which is the education savings account bill. And we had a pretty frank discussion. I mean, just a group of young teenagers about what's actually happening in Wyoming schools. And every single one of them were like, yeah, that sort of stuff is happening here. And, you know, there's this narrative from the Wyoming Education Association and from a lot of legislators, by the way, that says, well, you know, that sort of stuff isn't happening here. It's not how you portray it. You know, you're wrong about this social emotional learning. But when you talk to the people that actually go through it, like, I don't know, teenagers that were in public school, and they say, no, this stuff is happening. Jeanette Ward is right on target with all of her votes, the vast majority of the stuff that she said on the floor. I mean, I was right in line with her. And so, you know, the attacks from the WEA, and I'm assuming we're going to get to them here in the soundbite a little bit. But, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, I spent the afternoon with a bunch of teenagers, and Jeanette Ward's right on target with the way she voted and what she said in her response to the WEA.
I think so, too. I wonder if those kids are going to have some of this trauma bond developing as well.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't think they might. Anyway, roll the tape, if you would. That has surprised me over the last few years. Because as a lot of people know, my family came to Wyoming in 1878, which... it goes back a fair piece, pretty well steeped in Wyoming tradition. But I've also lived in other places around the world and around the United States, and I have some inkling of what's going on outside of here. And that's why I'm so delighted that people like you and Tom Kelly and several others have come to Wyoming as, frankly, political refugees and are bringing some enlightenment. You're able to recognize what's happening and put up a warning flag a little more quickly than we might be here in our own sleepy little place. So anyway, I'm glad you're here. Now, I understand that
thank you so much.
Absolutely. I understand that you have some competition this year, that somebody stood up, and that you are also stirring up a little bit of dust with the WEA, the Wyoming Educators Association. Would you kind of let us know what's going on here?
Sure. So the Wyoming Education Association ran an ad against me with a nice little graphic that says, Casper Rep Ward refused to support our public school teachers. They said Casper Rep Ward is voting against bills that would save our kids' lives. Mental health support in public schools keeps students safe and healthy. Rep Ward voted against providing mental health support for school children. She just doesn't get how to support Casper's kids. Why do you hate children, Mrs. Ward?
Good Lord.
Oh. So I was you know, intrigued by that ad and decided that it needed a response because I got asked about it by several people. Interestingly, most of the comments on their ad, and there are 35 comments and counting and 15 shares right now, but most of the comments are defending and in support of me, which is interesting. It seems like the WEA's ad is having the opposite effect that they intended.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, I understand that you do have someone contesting your race.
Yes, and it's someone who works. It's someone who works at Natrona County School District, and that would be the WEA-backed candidate. So that particular person was the head of the book reconsideration committee at Natrona County School District that voted to keep sexually explicit books in school.
Well, thanks for that insight. We will be watching your race and a number of others across the state. This is one of the most fascinating times. So you heard for yourself.
Why does she hate children?
Yeah, give her a chance. But what I love about that is you can see how they're trying to operate. They're trying to go soften the ground. It's just like in the military, if you're going to make an assault on a place, you're going to hammer it with artillery for a while to try to soften the response. And then you come in and attack. So you can see the WEA setting this thing up for this particular candidate that's coming out to oppose Jeanette. And yet, it doesn't appear to be working. At least not everywhere.
Well, I think by and large, people don't like nasty, vicious, mudslinging type ads. Now, there's a difference between truthful ads and ones that are, hey, Jeanette, why do you hate children? There's a big difference there. And by and large, negative campaigning, though, in the end, statistics show that it does work. But the reaction, at least initially, and most people that I've talked to in Wyoming, have a real disdain for that type of campaigning.
Joey?
Well, boys, I got to tell you, we've been doing this show for a little more than 6 months now. I remember the first time we sat down in Ken's studio and just played around. I hadn't even been doing a podcast yet. But in that episode, and in a few episodes since, and I know a few times on David's show, and absolutely my show with Tom Kelly over on Wide Right Turn, we've joked about, you know, the insinuation of, well, if you don't vote for this, then you hate these people or you hate. This is the first time we've had an opponent actually just come out and say it. Why do you hate children? And of course, my advice to Representative Ward, which she would never take, she's a much better person than I am, is my response is going to be, I can't answer your question because it's posed in the form of a lie. I mean, just the fact that we have these organizations doing exactly what we say they do in the manner in which we say we do it, and they're not even trying to hide it anymore, is ridiculous. But here's my question. If the WEA thinks she's hates children, trying to kill children, doing all this other stuff, then where was the WEA, their bought and paid for legislators, or even their own ad campaign in support of things like, I don't know, regulating or destroying the ability for people to get abortions in this state? You get an abortion, you're not just killing a human being, you're taking the school district's future paycheck away from them. They can't get that kid into school and get their $25,000 a year about it. That should piss them off. If they really cared about the health and welfare of children, why weren't they out there campaigning for Chloe's Law, saying we want to make sure our children are safe, our children are taken care of? Why were they not all pissed off that Sarah Penn's bill wasn't even introduced when it said we need to make sure that kids don't have access to pornography and other stuff online, which would have translated into also pornography in the schools, which you can't have because none of the school kids are over 18 anyway. Where was the WEA on that stuff? If they really care about the things they're insinuating they care about, why weren't they spending the time, effort, energy, and money to do advertisements and attack ads on people that killed that stuff or were against, you know, on the other side of those bills. I think once again, it's an example of hypocrisy and another shut up, you're not from here or you're not in our special little group of educators and we know better. So just stop, get out of the way, give us the money and we'll handle it like we always have. And I'm sick of hearing it, but at least they're blatant about it now. They straight up finally asked the question, why do you hate children? If you vote against this, you hate children. So the gloves are off now.
To me, it shows that they're absolutely desperate. They've got no real argument left. So they're just kind of out there flailing, shadow boxing or whatever. But one of the interesting things was they said, why did you vote against, what's the term I want, psychological help for
mental
kids?
Mental health.
Yeah, mental health for kids. And she obviously didn't.
No.
But she points out in her op-ed, and I like David, would encourage you to go pick that up and read it. She points out you have excellent teachers whose job it is to educate. And they do a good job at that. And then they're also asked on top of that to do all sorts of other extracurricular things. She goes and enumerates them quite well. And she says, and now you want them to be psychologists on top of that?
Now we need to dig up Ogden Driscoll's bill from, what was it, Joey, 2 years ago, where it was to have teachers put their lesson plans online. And the argument against that one was, well, this is going to take so much time from the teachers. You know, their job is to teach. It's not to be, you know, secretaries. We can't have them spending all that much time. Well, now we're saying that teachers ought to be mental health professionals, which, of course, they aren't.
Yeah.
And if they... And if the WEA, like you say, Joey, even gave a crap about kids, they wouldn't be putting people who are not qualified in mental health, psychology, or psychiatry, or anything like that, in charge of dealing with a child's mental health. And the reason that they aren't in favor of doing that, why they want teachers to do it, is so that they can continue to push their LGBTQ agenda on Wyoming kids. You can go right to the WEA's website and see it for yourself. Their Safe and Just Schools cadre, it literally says that they are training teachers to be activists. That's the very last line on that website. It's the same thought process that all of these people work with. If you're gonna advocate for an education association, union, or otherwise, whatever you want to call it, and your logo is the socialist fist, quite frankly, you can take it and stick it up your ass.
Tell us how you really feel. Joey, you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think David pretty well covered it, but with that last part, unfortunately, that's what they're trying to teach these kids with some of these books. Jeanette Ward's opponent, you know, has been the champion of the books that teaches how to do that last thing. You're right, David. The biggest concern I have is the fact that if you read the bill, it wasn't to give more money to the schools so the teachers could act as psychologists. The teachers are already doing that. It was to provide mental health care providers within the schools to amplify what the teachers are already doing. So the way it should work, and I'll tell you, my sister's a teacher, and she's a very kind, sweet, thoughtful person. And she's had a very hard time with being a teacher because she is a sweet, kind, thoughtful person. And she was totally disillusioned with what being an educator was going to be, what being around kids all the time was going to be. And I am fairly confident in saying if she sees a kid with a problem, yeah, she's going to talk to him. Try to make sure she gets a gauge on, hey, is this kid going to really, you know, hurt themselves, do something crazy right now? But the next thing she's doing is going through the process of making sure the kid's parents are informed and that they have the opportunity to have that child addressed and taken care of through their own health insurance and mental health care provider. What this bill did was say, we're still not going to tell the parents anything. We're going to continue to push this narrative, this agenda through the kids' minds. And we are now going to provide the mental health support staff at the school so it can all happen under one roof and we can keep it from the parents. And we don't ever have to be questioned on what we're doing because by the time you find out, we already have our finished product.
Excellent analysis, as always. Let's go back and hear a little bit more from Jeanette. This is the year for Wyoming political junkies when people begin to declare, I'm not going to run anymore. and there becomes
that whole
this
stick it up their ass part kind of came out of nowhere.
Excitement actually about what's going to happen next. I've got a spreadsheet on my computer where I'm keeping track of races all over the state. Maybe I need to get a better life. Anyway, the last question that I had for you this evening was, frankly, it's a question that I wish people would ask me more often. Why are you so rigid? Why are you so unwilling to compromise? Why are you such an extreme right-wing fanatic?
Well, a couple of thoughts there. First of all, I am not the only one who voted against the bill and other bills regarding mental health in schools. A lot of other Freedom Caucus folks also voted similarly, but they seem to be focused on me. And, you know, I'm not going to compromise from the slanderous accusation that I'm a child killer for not funding mental health support. That stuff is a backdoor for all kinds of ideology, radical gender ideology that parents don't agree with. And I think parents are the primary stakeholders of and caretakers of their children's mental health. It's not the job of government to take care of the mental health of students. Schools should be educating students on reading, writing, arithmetic, science. And I'm not going to let the Wyoming Education Association or any other group that is going to usurp the rightful role of parents. And with respect to that question, why don't I compromise? I'd like to point out that I, in fact, did compromise with one of the, shall we say, biggest lawmakers from, air quotes, the other side, when I talked with him about House Bill 203 and making at least permanent or semi-permanent and House Bill 203 was the property tax, you know.
Yeah, the last minute property tax one where Representative Harshman came and said, hey, let's add 2 cents to sales tax, and then we'll put a cap on your property tax, which didn't even make it to the second reading before that was destroyed. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I did compromise with him on an amendment to make the exemption, the $1 million home exemption, permanent for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it said that I won't compromise, that's not entirely fair, I would say.
I would also say that what I had to say, you can tune in later on the Ramble Room and hear the rest of the interview. I'd encourage you to do that. It doesn't go on a lot longer, but there were some nice stuff in there. Anyway, what do you guys think?
David? Well, there's this narrative.
Well, I think it's...
Oh, go ahead, Joey. You first.
Go, Joey.
Sorry, I thought you were eating some cheese. I didn't... I think it's obvious why they're focused on Jeanette Ward is because they already have their heir apparent picked. It's an easy 2-for-1 deal for the WEA. We've already got our candidate. They live in the same district. We're going to go after this person. I don't think this is the end of it. I think this is the first person they've decided to go after for, you know, political capital and expediency. But yeah, the bottom line is, compromise is a dirty word, and I'm glad that Jeanette Ward's willing to admit that, yeah, okay, I did compromise. I did work with them on, you know, certain things. But when it comes down to principle, and that's what the bills that the WEA is talking about, they're very much steeped in one ideology or another. I don't think she compromised. I think that on the tax bill, that's kind of a fluid situation, and the focus was reducing the property tax burden to taxpayers so you can negotiate there. But when it comes to stuff like becoming the mental health care providers to children through the education budget, ensuring that the parents don't have any say or awareness, there is no compromise there. That is a massive violation of a foundational principle that I would expect Jeanette Ward to not only stand up against, but to get kind of angry for someone even asking her to do so. So I don't know. Maybe you guys see it differently, but yeah, I don't think that was even a question. You're not going to negotiate with me on this. I ran on being against stuff like this.
Well, the problem is with their definition of the word compromise. none of the people on the other side really believe in compromise. And, you know, words mean things.
2 + 2 = 4, not 5 if you want it to be 5. And this is not to be discriminatory. This is to stand up for language. Words mean things.
Words mean things. And when the left talks about compromise, they don't mean that we'll give up something and you give up something and we come to some agreement in the middle. What they mean is you're going to do it our way and you're going to soften your position, even if that means violating your principles, which is exactly what all of those redcoats asked conservatives to do. Well, we've got this bill where, you know, we want to provide all this, quote, air quotes, as Jeanette says, we're going to provide all this mental health and you're going to agree with it and we can dicker on the amount. There's no question that, you know, one, conservatives might have been willing to talk about the bill if it was actually mental health care and if you weren't putting the school in charge of it and if you weren't using that mental health care to further an agenda coming from the radical left. Conservatives are very much against that sort of thing. So to say that you have to compromise with us, they don't really understand what that word means. Now, had the left said, okay, so you don't want it in schools? Let's come up with some sort of program where we can do it outside of a school or something like that. But that wasn't the case. And what the WEA is saying when they say the word compromise is do it our way. And the truth is conservatives compromise all the time. But the difference between conservatives and radical leftists, Marxists, really, is that conservatives aren't going to compromise their principles. We'll work with you on things that don't violate our principles. But when it comes down to protecting children or this LGBTQ agenda or whatever the case may be, no, we're not going to compromise. Abortion's a great example. No, we're not going to compromise about killing babies. You know, why would you even suggest that? By the way, what's wrong with you for suggesting that?
Do you hate children?
Yeah, do you hate children? And so anytime you hear the word compromise come out of the mouths of any of these people, you should immediately be on defense.
This is what's so fun about this, because you guys, David hasn't heard it either, hasn't heard what I went on to say, and I'm not going to have him play it now because we're going to move on to another subject. But I would encourage you to go listen to what I had to say in response to what Jeanette said. And you can understand from there why conservatives tend, without having to plan it, without having to be puppets controlled by some out-of-state or some national organization, why they tend to vote together. Because we think alike. We have the same principles. We have the same concepts. And it was, you just saw a great demonstration of that. So before we move on to another subject, Joey, you got anything to cap this one off?
Yeah, I'll just agree with you, Ken. We often get accused of, well, you didn't even want to discuss it. You didn't even have to think about it. You just immediately responded in the negative. Yeah, because I've already got this one figured out. It's called a principle. That's yes. Why they tend to vote in groups, and it doesn't take much time. We don't have to check and see how our PACs want us to respond. We don't have to Wendy Schuler it and check 500 emails to see how I should vote on an issue. I already got my principles. It's no question. But I'm really interested in looking into this opponent that Jeanette Ward has, the WEA's heir apparent, whoever they are. Apparently, like you said, she was the lady that fought in favor of the libraries being able to have all this child pornography and whatever material in it. And I'm wondering what the future for that holds. I mean, what is the next step for the WEA? Are they going to come out and say, well, having porn in the library isn't good enough for one of our candidates? Now we're going to support the guy that made porn in the library. And next thing you're going to see is Woody for Congress. And they're going to go out of their way to just get every depraved freak in the state out there in our legislature because we hate children, because we expect a little more. We expect certain limitations. And like David said, why does it have to be in the schools? Last time I checked, just about every county in the state has a youth crisis center. Why was that not even brought up in the discussion of, if you want to help kids with mental health, let's give this money to the Youth Crisis Center and send them there. You know, I don't know. So, but I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. Today's show in the school brought to you by Clark Stith.
Oh, great.
Oh, great. So you mentioned principle. And I would encourage any of you to go to our articles tab. I'm just putting up an article now, an op-ed, that talks about principle. there's a lot of smoke out there about what's wrong in the Wyoming legislature, and it's a straw man argument. And I'd encourage you to go see that article and see what I have to say, and then let me know via email or phone call or whatever you want. Let me know what you think. But speaking of principle, Representative Jerry Obermueller came out with an article having to do with, yeah, here it is right here. He says, education savings accounts invite the government into the church. And if you were to go back and watch when this bill came out on the House floor, after much of the debate, Jerry got up and he gave probably a 10-minute speech. And I went up to Jerry after that speech and I said, you know, Jerry, you're exactly right. Now, I know I'm looking at the eyeballs across here. See, principles aren't always looked at it exactly the same way. This can be an interesting discussion. I was encouraged to stand up for and vote for ESAs, which I did, but I did it on behalf of Liberty. But I would say to any homeschooler, to any private Christian school person, do not take this money. It's going to come with strings that you're writing checks your body can't catch. Anyway, let's kind of open this discussion up a little bit. And looks like Joey's standing there chomping at the bit, so go for it.
Yeah, another fun one we're going to do. And this is what really bothers me about what Jerry Obermueller wrote, is he wrote it in a way that I'm kind of in the same lane with you. I can't necessarily stand straight up and disagree with all of it. And I hate that. I like things being black and white. I like their team being on their side. And, oh, well, it is what it is. Yeah. But the truth is, anytime you take the people's money back from government, regardless of what you're in, there are strings attached. So I will agree with you on that. The caveat I have to that, and I've kind of made this argument in the past, of this is not money going directly to any of these schools or institutions. They go through the Department of Education, I believe, to the parents, and the parents spend them on things like school clothes, school supplies, busing, and then the tuition that goes to these schools. So technically a check is cut directly to the institution, but it's on, you know, behalf of the parent. So the schools don't necessarily have to fall into certain traps that Jerry points out here, things about them becoming dependent on the money, but they will be exposed to the strings, the tautness, the limitation of movement with the strings, certain things they can, can't, must, and must not do. So I don't know. I wish the concept was solid where money could just follow the child and we could really be focused on education. He does go a little off the rails. And I think, again, this is the second time we've had an op-ed from Jerry Obermueller mentioning the separation of church and state in a completely unrealistic light. That's not what that is, Jerry. But there are other issues in there that I can see where he's coming from on, and kind of almost get on board. Like you said, I would hate to see a lot of good homeschool or parochial school programs be gutted or, I don't know, rotted out from the inside because of where this money comes from. But I'm going to get back to being me. I'm the policy guy. If, you know, things having to be equal on all sides, if we're actually paying for education and the money's supposed to follow the child, why does the Wyoming Department of Education get upwards of $24,000 a year per student and the education savings plan only expects you to have $6,000 per year per student to fully educate your child? Why is that number different?
Because they have to pay for campaigns for candidates in Casper and other places.
The problem,
I get that, and the retirement funds, and then the overburdensome education administration, all that. But the truth is, once again, we are losing the principle, even in the thing we agree, don't agree, or is semi problematic. If we're paying for education, the money's supposed to follow the child. That dollar amount should be fixed across the board, the same way property taxes should be the same rate for everybody across the board. Then we can deal with the finer points later.
The problem I have with Obermueller's article is it's one big, gigantic straw man. Article 7, Section 12. No sectarian instruction, qualifications, or tests shall be imparted, exacted, applied, or in any manner tolerated in schools. And it goes on. Article 7, Section 12 says that education money cannot go to a religious institution. And there's another passage in the Wyoming Constitution. The citation escapes me right now. But the money can't go to a church. So I don't know what...
You're talking about the one that says it has to be 100% under the control of the
Yeah, that's Article 3, Section... that's Article 3, Section 36. It says any money given has to be under the complete control of the state. But what my point is that no money can go to a religious institution, private school or otherwise. So whatever reason that Jerry Obermueller doesn't like education savings accounts, and he's got a lot of them, the Wyoming Constitution disagrees with him. So that's why I say that the entire op-ed is one gigantic straw man. On the other hand, though, I agree with him in principle. The First Amendment says, and the whole intent behind the First Amendment, and you have to take into consideration Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptists talking about the First Amendment, in which he said, no, you don't have to worry about the government telling you which church you have to attend because there's a wall of separation between church and state. And what he meant was it's not possible for government to get involved in the church. But that doesn't say anything about the reverse, church being involved in government, which was absolutely intended by our founders. So, you know, I agree with Representative Obermueller that this education savings account bill is a crappy bill, and you should under no circumstances take money from the state for your kids' parochial education, if that's where you have your kids going to school. But his article is off base. So I agree in principle. I think his article is a load of crap.
I just want to say this. I did not read the article. I didn't. I've already heard, and I've spoken to Jerry, you know, one-to-one, so I have a pretty good idea where he's coming from. And the article indeed may be off base. His problem, and I think it's well-founded, is that if a parochial school becomes addicted to the funds, if a homeschooler becomes addicted to the funds, becomes very, very difficult not to compromise your principles in order to survive. And I think that's his warning. And I happen to agree with that. But I want to throw out a question here, because are there any hospitals in Wyoming that are run by churches or by religious organizations? Because one of the arguments that always comes up in this is, okay, government money can't go to parochial schools, but it can go to religious hospitals. They will take Medicare, they'll take Medicaid, that sort of thing. I don't know of any in Wyoming.
Yeah, I don't know that there is. Joey, do you have any idea on that one?
No, but if there's money available out there, you know, I will open Holy Joe's, you know, recovery home of the stubbed toe here in Saratoga and start cashing in, because you can't compromise my principles. I might as well get the money. But even if it's not, I mean, this applies to political organizations too, that says, you know, you can't do it for political purposes or to political groups, but we know good and well, and I think we talked about on David's show about 2.5 years ago, the University of Wyoming pays the Albany County Democrat Party to quote unquote clean up War Memorial Stadium in the middle of winter when fall's already come through. So the wind has blown all the trash away and the place is covered in snow. So we already have a series of situations where even if there is or isn't a religious hospital in the state for certain services, certain activities, as long as it's not just a direct gimme, we do have money from the taxpayer through the government going to political, religious and other types of organizations that shouldn't be getting money. We just talked about this week the $500,000 the Sheridan City Council gave to charities. That's right in that same section of the Constitution. So I don't know how they justify it. I just know it happens with impunity across the board. This isn't the first instance of this possibly coming up. So the argument that is the reason why we shouldn't do it is total bull crap.
Yeah.
But again, I'm going to go back to, hey, be careful if you are qualified for this money, because those strings are attached. And I know I have a good friend down, and we all have a good friend down in Evanston, down in Uinta County, Biffy Jackson and her family. They're part of a homeschool group. I believe they came to the legislature and recited the Declaration of Independence for the legislature, and they did a great job. And none of that was based on government funding or required curriculum. And they even say, sure, we could make a small mint if we took this money. But the whole point of what we're doing is not taking that money, not dealing with those strings, and raising kids that are willing to stand up to the government because they have the education of what the nation is supposed to be and how it's supposed to work.
With the shekels come the shackles. I mean, that's been true ever since government ever existed. You take the king's money, the king's going to expect something in return.
You guys have heard my argument about there are two trees in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
So there are two trees in the garden, and one of them was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says to Adam and Eve, you can have anything you want. You can partake of anything in this garden, including the tree of life. He didn't say that, but it was included. And the one thing I'm going to caution you about is don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it'll kill you. In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. So Satan comes up and he says, did God really say that? Or, you know, and that's how these things go. Yeah, you take this money, it's a problem. But I voted for the ESA bill on the side of liberty. The same reason God did not bar Adam and Eve from that tree, he simply cautioned them and then gave them free will. I'm doing the same. And part of the reason is there are a lot of people out there who want to homeschool now or who want to private school who have no religious basis for it. It's surprising how many people I've talked to in the homeschool world that have no religious reason whatsoever. They just simply, for a number of reasons, I'll give you one very brief one. When I was very young, my mother homeschooled me clear back in the early 60s.
Oh, that explains so much.
It does. It does. Because we lived on a ranch way out of town, and it was not practical to put me on a bus for an hour and get me into school. So there are other reasons. Those people are also taxpayers. Those people also are deserving, I think, of an opportunity to try to get some of that back. And if you want to take the strings, you go right ahead, you dummy.
Exactly right.
I'll get in with that. That's the one thing I do like about the ESA bill. It's not mandatory. In fact, there is quite an involved process in getting the account set up for your student, make sure the money's attached to their name, and learning what it can, how it can be spent. So, yeah, I'll give that one to Ken. Definitely the choice is there. That's why it's called, you know, school choice as the nickname for the ESA accounts. And we'll just move it into modern day. I know you were talking about the Garden of Eden. And that's kind of what Wyoming is. We're the last great bastion here in America. I consider this America's Garden of Eden. And you're lucky that I'm not in charge, because I would just fix the problem and tell them, knowing you're going to do it anyway, don't eat the snakes. And just get rid of the problem up front. No more Wyoming Education Association. No more rhinos. Don't eat the snake. Little Father Guido Sarducci being channeled through me there. But
so we got
I do like the fact there's no mandate in it.
You're exactly right. We got about 10 minutes left here, and I'd like to jump to one last subject, and I want to start with David. And my question to you, David, is MAGA a myth?
No, it's not. And what Ken's referring to is this really dumb letter to the editor in the Pravda on the Platte. Written by this idiot named Randy Vlock. Now, Randy used to.
Have you ever met Randy?
I have not.
Okay, well, careful on the superlatives.
No. Okay. Listen to this thing, okay. And it's totally appropriate.
Make your case.
Here's my case. So he writes this article letter to the editor, entitled "Don't Buy Into MAGA's Myth." And let me just read you a couple paragraphs out of it. quote, the slogan Make America Great Again is an appeal to a mythic past, one tactic among many used by fascists in Italy and Germany in the 1920s and 30s to convince people to follow them. The fascists used this tactic to convince their followers that their present was the worst possible time to be alive and that the fascists' political opponents created the problems the nations faced. Now, skipping to the end here, he says, quote, they make claims of an economy in shambles. Our economy kind of is in the crapper. Have you gone to the gas pump lately? An invasion of murderers and rapists is coming across the southern border. That's totally happening. There's several news stories out right now.
Every day.
Every day of young women being raped and murdered by illegal immigrants. They're bringing drugs. We have a fentanyl crisis in this country. They're bringing crime. We have a crime problem in this country, even in Wyoming. I've seen reports of illegal immigrants in larger places. And there, if I'm not mistaken, there was an incident in Sheridan where an illegal immigrant got pulled over for driving a car without a license. They cry that cities are burning. The cities were burning, BLM and all of that. And that crime is out of control. New York City, believe this or not, it went from being one of the safer cities in America to the most dangerous city in America. I heard that on the news.
Replaced Buffalo.
Yeah, replaced Buffalo. Let's see here. In a recent speech, Trump compared the United States to a third world country. And he said, frankly, our country is dying. Well, those aren't claims of fascists. And secondly, to compare Republicans or conservatives to fascists is absolutely wrong. The fascists were first started as the National Socialists. Fascism and socialism is one step behind communism. So this whole idea that if you support Trump or if you're a conservative that you're a fascist is completely off base, and Mr. Randy Vlock is 100% wrong.
Just, I want to jump in there just a second, then wow. I want to hear what Dewey has to say, but what I read that article, and I was livid immediately because he's trying to portray the idea, make America great again is a lie, he says.
Yes,
America was never great. The Leave It to Beaver 50s America was really nothing but a hellhole and a prison for minorities and for transsexuals or whomever else may have been there. Never mind all of the tremendous statistics and proof that America itself moved the globe from the Black Plague into where it is today. There are a couple of books out there, The Mainspring of Human Progress. There was a speech by Rich DeVos back in the 60s called Selling America. And you go back, and those are the things that are being denied and repressed with the lie that there never was a good America. It was always a hell. I'd better get me off my soapbox, Joey. Get in there.
Yeah. Don't eat the snakes. the thing with MAGA is, and this is a phrase I use, but it's especially appropriate now. I understand that Randy will never understand. And I'm not going to waste my time trying to convince him or anybody that just wants to jump on the bandwagon saying, yeah, there's a guy using words that make us feel legitimate in our, you know, burning down cities and causing crime and using drugs, which they say aren't happening. But really what it comes down to when I hear MAGA, what I'm hoping for and what I use it as is I love my country, but I am absolutely ashamed of my government. And that's the reality that a lot of people, even on our side, don't get to the point of. They think it's all one big thing. You know, earlier we were talking about church and state and, you know, Jerry Obermueller's assumed separation. I've really not walked into a church anywhere in Wyoming where there isn't a U.S. and Wyoming flag in there. But how do you do that? Separation of church and state. Well, the flag doesn't represent the government. The flag represents our nation. Our country is not our government. So I think that even this blockhead, biscuithead, whatever we're calling him nowadays, his argument can be layers peeled away and discussions had of, okay, Well, you're talking about nostalgia. You're talking about revisionist history. And the things you're talking about that are currently happening, that you're denying are happening, aren't problems with our nation. They're problems with our government. And that's where we, the people, really have the opportunity to step in and do something. We just have to get over the emotion and the victimhood that people like this tend to spew so they can have more votes on their side. I don't know why you'd be the want to be on the winning side of that team, because when they win, you know, hey, open up the ovens and jump right in. That's where it's going. But really, what personal responsibility are you placing on your position in the argument you're making? And I think when it comes down to it, even this guy loves his country. He just won't admit that the government is the problem and he is part of that problem.
Absolutely, he is. And if, I mean, that long list of things that I read that he denies are happening, and in fact, in the very next sentence, he says, using lies and propaganda, they have created a hellscape in their minds, in the minds of their followers. He fundamentally won't admit that those things are happening. In my opinion, he is so entrenched in his hatred for Donald Trump and all things conservative that he will deny reality. And I think that you can extrapolate this to the rest of Biden's followers. I mean, when you have people that say stuff like this,
true international effort to pressure,
and you claim that that guy knows what the heck he's saying, you are the one that's out of your mind. But I think a lot of it has to do with this just Trump derangement syndrome. And, you know, it used to be kind of a joke, just people that hated Donald Trump. But now, I mean, look at Randy Vlock, man. I mean, he has bought that thing hook, line, and sinker and evidently firmly believes it.
So, Joey, you said something that I want to tag on a little bit. The problem's not with America. The problem's with the government.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
But the problem is going to become and is greater becoming with America, because America was trained or educated by the government. We went wrong, at least in large part in my view, when we started, instead of the churches and the parents teaching our children the American way of life, we went wrong when we ceded that authority to a government agency, and it was infiltrated with those who do not appreciate the things that made America what it is. And they, frankly, brainwashed our own children. And if you don't believe that, I don't know what to tell you. But
visit a high school.
I was going to say, send your child off to college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, send your child to college and then interview them 6 months later. I don't understand why anybody leaves their children in a public school. This is not pointing a finger at the teachers. The teachers are doing the best that they can, but they're working in a horribly corrupt system that is bent on destroying MAGA. It's bent on destroying America. And maybe I sound like an extremist, but I look around and I see people like Jeanette Ward to my right and people like Ben Hornock to my left and the two of you guys, and I think I'm in pretty good company.
I would agree. And I think it tells us a lot of where politics are at, that when we go to these extremes, when the only thing that you have left is to say, they're a bunch of fascists, and none of these things that they're saying actually happen. I mean, I think that it tells you that they know they're losing their argument. And, you know, you can look at the Wyoming legislature. There's some people that are dropping out that we didn't think were going to be out of the legislature. And I think a lot of them see the handwriting on the wall. Well, Joey, we've got about a minute left. You want to wrap it up?
I sure will. I appreciate everybody joining us on Crosstalk Live here. I love spending time with the guys. It's one of the high points of my week. And I'll just finish up by saying, if you think Ken's crazy by saying people have been brainwashed, don't think of it as this big boogeyman, you know, witches around a cauldron type of brainwashing. We are now two generations removed from anybody remembering a world without the Federal Department of Education. Yeah. You have kids that were born after 9/11 who are now fully through the school system in their 20s and becoming parents, they've never lived in a world without parents that went through curriculum based on the Federal Department of Education. So that's proof that the brainwashing happens, because we don't remember and we were never told that that's how it was. It's been the whole way our whole lives through our parents' generations with these new young people coming up. So if you need proof, there it is.
Excellent.
Well, thanks, guys.
Appreciate everything you guys do, and keep up the fire.
It's Crosstalk Live.